it's time to listen to Island Life from Saturday the 14th of April 2012. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua. This week, Jan Scott talked to local board by-election candidate Herb Romniuk, Hedda and Roger from Waikos, and John Webb about the Rocky Bay store.
It's now my pleasure to say good morning to Herb Romniuk. Good morning, Herb.
Good morning to you, Jan, and it's a pleasure to be here and on this lovely morning at Waiheke. And I hope the day turns out even better than it is at the moment.
Indeed. Okay, Herb, now you're standing for the community board and you're previously been on the board. Yes. From your perspective, the board is about halfway through its term now. How do you think they're performing?
Look, they've really worked hard. I admire their tenacity in getting things organised. I was looking through their local plan just recently. You know, the effort that went in a short period of time to produce a local plan which involved the getting the aspirations and wants and desires of the Waiheke community on board, putting it into a local plan, that was a huge effort. Look, they've got to be congratulated. Not only that, they've done great work in getting a local agreement together. All those are very difficult tasks, and they obviously took a lot of time, a lot of effort and energy, and they've got to be congratulated as to have gone this far. And they're working as a team. They're working as a team, which is brilliant.
That's great. Okay. Now, as far as the local board plan goes, how do you think, do you think it's gone far enough?
Well, look, the effort that's there, it's identified the many issues which they're working on, and it's, at this stage we've got the local plan in place. We've got to work with the local plan, so it's no good starting to dream up new ideas and saying we'll do this and that, because that's slightly late in the place. We're halfway through this first term and we've got to look at what the community wanted, what the plan says. Let's try and get and achieve those things. So having said that, there are a lot of areas in that plan that call for advocacy by the local board, and that's really the difficult task, because some of these CEOs or CCOs, council controlled organizations, are totally independent. We have no direct involvement with them. For example, the transport committee or transport Auckland Transport is an independent organisation. It's very professional. The people that on that board are professional people. They're experts and so forth. However, they sit in Auckland and they may not know what the community is all about and what the needs are. So there's a real necessity to engage with them and I know the community or the local board is trying to do that, but that's the big effort that needs to be done. You know, the trying to get that conduit there to be relevant and engage with all those CCOs, because in one hand the Royal Commission gave us the powers. They said yes, the community should be able to make its own determination of what life should be all about for the community of Waiheke. However, they also put in place those independent bodies which took all the power away. Now, all the things that the transport, Auckland Transport, the authority it has, it's taken away all the real powers. You were talking about curbing and channeling and roads and all that sort of thing. That's totally within the domain of Auckland Transport. And it's not easy for us to say, oh, we want curbs and channeling here and go and say and have protests and so forth, because the conduit isn't there. You know, you can have those experts doing things, and therefore it's a necessity. It's very important to engage at an early time, have a regular engagement with those bodies.
Of course, transport was your portfolio when you were on the community board previously, wasn't it?
Yes, it
so
was.
So it's a particular interest of yours, I guess.
Absolutely, and there's so many things that are still undone, and I look particularly at the issues of parking around Matiatia. You know, the lifeblood on the island depends also not on just on tourism, but those people who get up, some of them at 5 o'clock or so in the morning and go to work in the city and come back again late at night. There are about 1,200 people in that category who do this on a daily basis. Now, parking is so vitally important to them, and here we've got situations where the council, Auckland City Council, gave a huge tract of land to the lovely people who operate the rental cars. Well, they're great people, they've got a good business, but the necessity of having rental cars so close to the car parks at the expense of commuters who need to go into town and who are working hard for the island, that's sort of something that needs to be looked at.
Okay, so what do you see as the priorities for the balance of the term of this particular board?
Well, I think just following that local plan, which again I really commend, and which has been put in place, and those are our ideals and our destinations in that first term. And so you really have to try and look at that and say, yes, we have to go and advocate and do the best we can with all the organisations, because, like the CCOs, I think just in encouraging and in reinforcing that part of the plan. So look at the plan first. The plan has, I can't see any problems with the plan. Incidentally, we may all have pet ideas about what should be in the plan, and I must admit I was licking my wounds in respect of the last election, and I perhaps should have been more vital in promoting some matters. For example, I think Waiheke is such a beautiful island, but it's also from the island rather than up to the island. So when you travel along Waiheke, all the beautiful views along Oropu to Man of War Bay, for example, all those views are being sort of obstructed by the growth on the roadside, so you're not seeing a view anymore. We should identify views from the island and then put a little barrier around them where we say, this is a view, don't plant anything there, don't put a house over there. If there's a special tree, a heritage tree, we'll take it out and plant it elsewhere. Retain the views. You know, things like on Koori Road, the view across Palm Beach is a good example. Along Pacific Parade, looking towards Anzac Bay, there are many places we need to identify view shafts to put them in. That's my pet little area which I'd like to sort of see in the next time around, Jan.
Okay. Now, what would be your vision politically for the island, say, 3 years down the track?
Well, I think it's such a beautiful island. We should retain the identity of the culture that's here at present, retain the our respect for the environment. I think there's this special thing about Waiheke, that it is an island. It's not just a suburb of Auckland, and there's something unique in that concept. There are many matters which need to be thought through in that sort of way, but let's keep that in mind. This is an island. Tourists come to Waiheke because it is an island. And we don't want high-rises all along the foreshore of Matiatia, for example. And that's perhaps why we were up in arms when Waitemata Infrastructure presented us with a huge conglomeration of buildings and so forth. That was getting away from the concept, what is an island? And people enjoy it when they come here. They can't believe we're 35 minutes from the biggest city in New Zealand, and it's such a beautiful place. It's laid back. There's a certain relaxed style about it, that we have got something here that perhaps a lot of other places haven't. So let's retain this identity of Waiheke.
Right. Now, as the only candidate who's standing who's been on the board before, there is an opportunity for people to look back at your previous time on the board.
That was wonderful.
You can say that. We can't possibly comment. But I had somebody say to me the other day, for instance, that when she thinks of your name, she immediately thinks of your campaign to have live music on the wharf. Now, that's a perception that's out there. Well, but so what do you think you achieved when you were on the board?
That's an incidental matter which had some prominence in the media on Waiheke. It sort of started off because I saw I saw Ruth, who was trying to run that restaurant at Harbour Master, and she had a Fijian group singing as a welcoming voice for visitors to the island, and that sort of suggested many other places in the world. When you get off of the boat, there is something lovely. It's an island feel. Hawaii is also probably like that, and some of the island in the Pacific. And I thought that could be quite nice for tourists. When they come in, they have a feel. They're not just getting off a bus and getting off elsewhere. They're coming to an island. That was the thought behind that. But my achievements, basically, I feel we're surrounding the parking issues around Matiatia. And they're still there, they're wide open, and decisions were made without reference to the community board then, because it wasn't the property section of the city council would make a decision without reference to this community board, and all of a sudden you've found that the cattle pens that are there at the moment, probably good indication of it, putting things in place without reference to the community. And did they try and plant anything around those cattle pens? I call them cattle pens. You know what they are. Those are where they park the cars there. And there are all sorts of issues there that are pretty vital to the commuter, the daily worker who has to go into town. And I think that was at the expense of the daily worker. And I really tried hard. I'm still trying hard. My wife, Broman, keeps sort of saying, Herb, you're not on the community board now, so stop arguing and so forth. So that still happens. But there it is. There are a lot of issues there. And there are still ongoing ones. They need to be resolved because, if anything, the island will become more popular with tourists, and the parking is at a premium. There's a lot of areas there. I respect the Urapu situation about the graves. And this weekend, somebody's looking and seeing if there are any further graves on the foreshore. But apparently, it's not necessary to take all the land behind the kayak establishment and leave it as a grassed berm at the expense of people who are bringing money back to the island. You know, these are the people we've got to really encourage, because they're also the ones that keep this island going.
We're talking to Herb Romanyuk, who's a candidate for the by-election for the local Waiheke board. Herb, in your position as the transport spokesman when you were on the board last time round, you've just been talking about the problem down at Matiatia, and that has been an ongoing parking problem that not only you but organisations like the Ferry Users Group has been trying to address for a number of years. Realistically, can you see that we can make progress down there?
It's a no-brainer, Jan. Look, it's looking, staring at us in the face. Here's an area available for parking. We can sort that one out, but it has to be a cohesion of people who are looking after Matiatia. There are about five separate council committees and bodies that seem to be interacting. There's transport, and the Auckland Transport is in charge of some of it. There's property, which is another part of, that's where the rental cars are. There's the wharf itself. There's the parking on the roadside. There are separate bodies. We were trying to get them to meet together at one stage through FUG, if you recall, Jan, that we were trying to see if we could actually meet with them to see, well, do they understand us, what the commuters are all about.
Well, it makes you wonder if they talk to each other.
Well, I do they? Yeah, that's a good question. I don't believe they do. In fact, you know, there is a lack of sort of commitment to each other or discussions about those topics, and that's why the local board could be instrumental, or should be instrumental, perhaps in encouraging some sort of a meeting of minds to sort out the problems. There is a problem. We don't want an ugly looking car park down there. It could be done, as is elsewhere in the world. When you have car parks, there are trees and shrubs around it. to soften that area. It should not just be an ugly car park, which is awful. You can hear in Noosa, there was a car park. It was like a park more than a car park. It was a park in which cars were there and was shaded from the sun by the trees, and it had nice little alcoves. You could actually walk through there. It was delightful to be there. So there are issues, but those are the sort of things we can encourage. The council and the officers and Auckland Transport to look at and do.
The structures that you talked about, with where Matete, for instance, comes under different sections in the council, that structure was in place before the Auckland City
yes,
came
yep.
into being, wasn't it?
Yes.
So that's been inherited from the old city council.
Indeed, yes.
Which is a bit of a shame that they didn't address that.
Well, that's the problem, Jan, because they are, you know, property is quite removed from the transport area. Property, sort of historically, they owned the land, and the land was property owned with the harbour masters, and so they took on the role of looking after it. But in fact, if you look at the situation, that has now become the part of the transport hub of Waiheke,
yes.
And it needs to be addressed in that way. It's not just you just. You know, I did an official information request of the Auckland City Council to see how much money had been collected down there from the commuters by way of ferry tax and by way of parking and so forth, without the rental cars company. The income was over $14 million. That's since Matiatia was the new ferry terminal was established. $14 million. I believe that the actual terminal for which the tax was first raised only cost about $2 million. But this is a perpetual thing. If it's in place now, it's a cash cow. There's no thinking, we'll reduce these, the price each passenger has to pay. It's a cash cow. Nobody seems to argue about it. How many security guards are there downtown and on this side? We're all paying for that through our taxes and so forth. There's a sort of... There isn't an overview of situations, which there should be. You know, we should be able to say, hey, excuse me, why do we need two security guards at 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning in the ferry? The only drunk person that I saw was Herb Romanuk, who got off last night, but he's not there this morning, you know? There's an overkill sometimes because of money. It's a cash cow, money is there, and things happen, and you wonder, well, was this totally necessary? Well, it isn't, but the money is there.
Okay, Herb, well, I think we need to wind up now.
Oh,
but in
sorry,
summary,
another half hour.
in summary,
yes.
Why should people vote for Herb Romanuk for the community board vacancy?
I think I have the experience both in business. I've been a director of companies, but I've got a lengthy experience in the law. I've also got local body experience. I was 6 years on the local and on the community board. Look, it's a big learning curve. When I first got on there, you know, you thought one could do everything, but you can't. There's a learning curve involved in getting to know the people, the identities in the council. I've got the experience.
Thank you, Herb Romanuk.
No, thank you for the opportunity.
Island Life, Waiheke people, events and issues. Brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by The Village Butchery, the place to go for fine cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. Island Life, Waiheke people, events and issues, here on Waiheke Radio every Saturday morning from 10 a.m.
And now it's time to welcome two people from Waikos, Hera Mons and Roger Bryant.
Good
welcome
morning.
To you both.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, now Hera, what's Waikos up to at the moment?
Okay, Waikos is the Waiheke Island Council of Social Services. We have about 18 groups, members of groups, social groups, and we are working together on all sorts of issues. At the moment, we are updating our community directory. We are nearly there. That has come, hopefully. What do we have? We have April, May, at the beginning of June it should come out. We have updated it. We are in the process. If there's any community group out there who would like to put some information about their activities in there. Maybe they can ring the Citizens Advice Bureau. And the number, oh, you find in the phone book, but I think it's 372-8460. Talk to Lomont and she will pass the messages on.
How often do you update the directory?
Oh, it hasn't been updated for quite a while. I think the last time it was updated, I think it's 2007-8. So it, so it hasn't been updated for quite a few years. So it's quite a bit to change. And it will be given to, taken to every household on the island, what is great. And that's, you know, because people don't have to pick it up. They get it delivered into their letterbox.
Right.
What is
and
great.
Can any organisation on the island list with it? They don't have to be a social service?
No, we have sports groups. We have... yeah, we have all sorts of different groups involved. Roger, do you have anything?
Yeah, I think it's it really is all the social groups that are around the place, and also the health groups and people like that. And particularly, you know, it's more for the voluntary context of what goes on the island. And but everybody's welcome there, and it's a really good opportunity to get there and talk to people. You know, they're often the groups on the island operate in isolation. And a lot of the paperwork and stuff gets left behind, you know, and we've been digging a bit more into that recently, you know, as what I'm going to talk about later on, you know, things such as the community leasing thing, which is a big problem around the place because accommodation for groups and things like that. So, you know, this is a first, it really is. People want to start something off, you know, they're really welcome because that's what the intention of the group is, to, you know, get things going and to get people working together. Because that's the only way we can go. It's the economy of size, you know, which has seen us lose so many social services and things like that. But if we do work together, we are then going to have a far better chance of doing things.
YCOS was set up as a network group, wasn't it?
Yeah. And we still are. I mean, we have monthly meetings, first Tuesday of the month, and we are working together on all sorts of different issues. We just have... done our strategic planning, or we are still in the process of doing it, and we have discovered four parts that are very important for our community, to make the community, to help the community out. And one was housing on the island, what is really quite difficult. The other one is employment. We want to look at this one as well and see and get some information out, collect some information and also see if we can do something about it. The next one is violence and abuse. And the last one, one of the four major ones we have decided, is alcohol and drugs on the island. So these are the main issues, and this is a plan we want to work over the next 3 years on these issues with our community. Yeah.
So are your meetings open to anyone to pop along if they're interested in getting involved or not?
Just come along. You can come along the first Tuesday in the month, usually around at the Surfdale Hall, and they start at about 10 o'clock. And if they, you know, get hold of somebody from there, if they want to come in before, or get hold of somebody who's around, you know, we're quite happy. As I say, a lot of the information does go through the CAB, which is a real, you know, which is the real hub of it. And if you're in doubt, you know, contact the CAB, and Lomond will be able to tell you, you know, what's on down there. But no, everybody's really welcome, and especially talking about some of these issues. We've already discussed housing, and there's a lot of stuff in there, and we're into alcohol and drugs and the employment income over the next 2 months. So it should be, you know, and anybody who's got something to offer, you know, please come along. You're most welcome.
Great. And of course, you both come here to talk about specific issues. And Hera, you're talking about Youth Week, aren't you?
Yes, the International Youth Week. And that is happening on the 21st to 28th of May. What is about a month away. And this has sort of started with some members of YCIRS, that is Living Without Violence, the Haora, the high school, and also the Health Trust, and from Friends of the Street and the Youth Centre. And we have learned If we want young people to come to something or do something, it's no good if we do it. They have to come and do and initiate. So we had a meeting, two meetings actually, with a peer sexuality team from the Waiheke High School. It was about eight young people, and sort of they have established a program during this week, and so none of them, I couldn't get any information because it's holidays at the moment, I couldn't get any information out what was confirmed actually. But on Wednesday, we will have some jamming at the Lazy Lounge with half-price food. On Thursday, discount at Stefano's with some music, hopefully. Friday, half-price movies here at the movie theater. And on Saturday, we are not sure. We couldn't really arrange something. But on Sunday, we want to get the skater Levi, who's working against bullying at the school, at playgrounds, everywhere. And he maybe listener will know him from the Nick Minute. He's quite a character, and he's quite strong. And hopefully, he said he would come over, so we want to do something at the skate park and invite our young people.
That sounds great. Now, what we need to clarify here is that we're not talking about this coming week. We're talking about the week Wednesday the 21st of May through to Sunday the 28th of May. Yeah. So it's a month away.
But it's
just giving us a heads up on it and what you can expect to.
And it takes a while to organise all these things. And I'm organising. I'm actually in the background, and we all have decided that this is what we are doing. The young people are going out and organizing it. We are there to support, to drive them, to remind them, to work together, but they have to make the main step, and we are there to support.
Is this following a set pattern for the International Youth Week? Who initiated that?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Who initiated it?
I mean, when you say International Youth Week, is this a New Zealand initiative? Or
No, international. It's some. I honestly can't answer this, where it's coming from, but we have talked about it for years, and we wanted to do something, and we haven't done anything. And this year, because we are early enough, you know how long it takes to initiate something, we have taken it to the school, to the students, and asked them, do you want to do something for this week? And they are keen to do it. So
that's excellent.
Yep. We will let you know if what is confirmed at this stage, so I can't really tell you what is confirmed.
Well, no doubt we'll have you back before that week.
Hopefully a young person will actually come and talk to you about it.
That would be great. Now, if there are any young people out there listening today who would be interested in getting involved, who would they contact?
The best person to talk to is Maggie, the high school nurse, because she is part of it. It's the best thing to go and talk to her. I haven't got any number for her, but just, she is easy to get hold of, easy to ring if you're not at school. That's a person, and to talk to some people who are actually involved in the peer sexuality team.
There again, I guess, if they went into the CAB office and said they were interested in getting involved, would that get to that?
I'm sure Lomont, I will talk to her and will tell her if there is a young person coming, that it would be great for her to pass them on to Maggie and also give them the phone number for Maggie. I will do that.
That's great.
Also, as part of the community directory, we are trying to develop certain pages, and we are putting all the things for youth services, trying to make a page with all those things on, so that people will be able to go to these places and refer to the one thing down there and see what there is. An amazing amount of stuff available for young people on the island, and it is a question of just getting the information out there. And that's what our job is, to get in the background and to help them give the opportunities really to young people to try and get into some of these things.
To facilitate them and motivate them perhaps.
Well, they usually motivate themselves. I think peer pressure is always the biggest motivator around the place.
That's for sure.
So, we're hoping of some other opportunities as well.
Right. Okay, Hira, we'll come back to you in just a moment. But yep. Roger, Roger Bryant, you're here to talk about making a submission to the council on their lease policy for council properties. Is that correct?
Yes, this is one of the things that comes up every so many years, and this time the Auckland Council is now making is putting together the things from the seven councils which went to make up the Auckland Council, and we've got they've put them all together, and it's a mishmash. It's a bit of a mishmash because they only put two things together. One's the is the community occupancy thing, and the other one is the facility partnership. But they haven't put in the one on the money, you know, what goes with it. And if you're going to make a plan, you know, you make a plan that covers everything. As this was seen, you know, with the dog thing, you know, they put everything there, they put all their plans together and everything else like that, and then omitted to say, you know, they're going to put these marvellous things on top of it, and we've had a great revolution there. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. What there is in this is one of the main things we found the other day of concern is some of the wordings in it. Not the changes are really, they don't take the best of things out, they just sort of try to make a mishmash of everything that's around the place, you know. And they have a number of things down there. It's the style of leases and everything else like that. You know, different ones for different people and everything else like that. And a lot of these things, all they do is to keep the office staff, you know, the bureaucracy, you know, in a job. And we did try to save it. Now, there is one major thing which we had a fairly good, heavy discussion on, because this thing now, it comes in there as to commercial leases from commercial revenue, and we actually came to agreement because there was a thing down there. But this thing goes back because all the groups that are involved in these sort of things and using these council facilities and stuff like that, they built them themselves, places like the sports club and stuff like that, and we have all these things done down there, and now they've been charged these are non-for-profit groups. They're being now, they put in this thing about commercial, you know, revenue and everything like that in there. So we want to see the word commercial totally removed from this thing as being fair and equitable, because it just totally detracts from the type of voluntary effort which these people are doing and the contribution they are making to the community. And of course, any excess money goes back into it. You know, we have to pay out great amounts of money now for plans and strategies and for getting licenses and things like that, you know. And you haven't got money to pay for coaches and things like that. Mm-hmm. And people are only prepared to volunteer if they're, you know, things are there. They're not prepared to go through all of this sort of stuff. So what we've done actually is to draw up some of these points. You know, we've made them into a thing which I was hoping to have with me today so I could go through it, but it will be available. We've sort of made a template thing, you know, four groups on the island to work on, and I have got the job. I'm sort of like the convener down there. I've got to distribute all these things to everybody. So if people want to get hold of me, usually the best one to get hold of me is at it's rfbryant31@gmail.com, and I can, you know, we can get the things there. But we're going to spread this thing out, and we hope that other groups, you know, other people will have a look at this and, you know, take part. The difficulty is with the as I say, is that these things come up and people's leases all expire at different times, so they can be picked off at different times like that. What has happened in the past is that your lease goes for five by five by five, for example, and we hope that all leases will come under that, and the council can then change its policy every 3 years. And, you know, we don't get any say. And the worst thing about this whole thing is that they go through it, they have your say. This then comes through, and we can't then go and make our case to the council because there is no room for public hearings on it. So it's being assessed. It's actually being assessed by a group of consultants. and you know, put before the council. And as I say, the people who are using these things just don't get a say. So you've got another bureaucratic dream thing, you know, for the people who want to do it.
So do you think this submission process is going to be worthwhile? I mean, is it worth people putting in submissions? Because it's got a fairly tight time frame, hasn't it? It's got a 27 April deadline.
Yeah. Mm. Well, this has been the problem. You know, they give you a month to put these things in and everything else like that, and then they'll rush it through and you know, put them on again like that. And as I say, I don't. I think it needs a lot more looking at than is done then, and especially when you can't get round the table with them and talk to them, you know, at a public hearing on it.
Maybe has the local board become involved in this? Are they putting in a submission?
No, I did talk to them about this because I made a submission on the draft long-term plan on Thursday of this week. And I have been made these comments to the board for their long-term plan, and some of these things are being, you know, taken on board at the moment. As I say, this is another plan, you know, that we've got to get up with, you know.
Roger is always really busy about submission and everything else. Roger, can you where can people get these forms?
Right. If people want to have a look at these, they are available at the service centre in Belgian Street, and they're also available at the library. Mm. And if anybody else has got any problems, you know, if they can't find them there, there should be stuff around.
Can you maybe give your email address again I think it's important that people can get in touch with you.
Yep, I have got some spare copies around. Say, if they email me at rfbryant31@gmail.com.
Right.
Now, you've also done a pro forma submission form, haven't you, for people that people could follow?
I haven't been doing it. Some of the others.
Oh, right.
We do delegate a bit of work around the place. It's not really a one-man band at all, you know, anymore.
But for somebody who's not used to making a submission, you could give them some points.
That pro forma will be, you know, is the thing, you know, to go on there. And we don't say, you know, this is just our suggestions, what we say, you know, and it gives people a chance, you know, if they want to add things to it, yes, please do. You know, we really want to get together on this one.
So, in a nutshell, what are your major concerns with the things that people should make a submission about?
The thing that's actually grown out of this is has been the use of our own buildings. Like, okay, we've now got the Auckland Council's got a CCO which goes into properties. We also have, you know, down here a number of halls and places like that. And where a lot of this starts from on the recent stuff is in the use of the properties, which are actually ours, but have been taken over by the sort of bureaucracy to do these things. And one of the main things on it was where I started off with this lot particularly is because we want to get a community centre on the island, and that's one of the things we put it in for was originally the Surfdale Hall was purchased as a community centre and everything else like that, and it's great, it's got the youth part in it and everything else like that, but it's still traded out and used as a hall for hire. Mm. In other words, the community development advisor can get the hall to use for his purposes, but if we want a meeting down there, we've got to go and pay for it.
Quite expensive,
it is. And this is why people aren't using the halls and the facilities. The other thing which came up, particularly with this commercial thing down there, is places like Matiertier, you know, which is owned by the people, the building down there, all they're interested in down there is a commercial lease on the buildings. And there are other buildings around which could be used, which are council, things like that. Particularly, we need somewhere like an environmental workshop around the place, which could be worked in with parks and things like that. And the whole thing is, you know, what we're trying to do is to get people working in together instead of being put into separate little boxes. And we've got people, you know, the like interest, because that's the size of the island. That's the economies of the scale. And that's the only way we can see of doing things, is by everybody working together in their own particular interests.
Yep. Mm. Right, so we are encouraging people to make a submission on how the Auckland Council leases facilities and partners with community groups work. Those submissions have got to be in by the 27th of April, and if you need some help putting those submissions in, Roger Bryant's your man. The brochure that's got the submission form in it is available from the community community centre in Belgium Street, and also from Waiheke Library, and Roger can help you if you want to contact him on his email, and if you'd give that one to us again, please, Roger.
RFBRYANT at gmail.com. 31. Oh, I forgot that.
Start again.
Wow, thank you.
Don't write that one down, it was wrong.
Okay.
Study.
RFBRYANT 31 at gmail.com.
Thank you very much, Roger. And Hera. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you next month.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
And it's my pleasure to say welcome to John Webb. John has come to talk to us about the fundraising initiative to buy the Rocky Bay store site. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jan. Good morning, Waiheke residents.
Right, now you're a reasonably newcomer to Rocky Bay, aren't you?
Yes, I shifted here March 2011. From Christchurch. I'm one of those early Christchurch refugees with the aftermath of the earthquake.
And you had a rather interesting background down there, didn't you, with restoration of old buildings?
Yes, I did. I was involved with the BBS group of companies, and we developed some inner city areas of Christchurch, particularly the Poplar Lanes area, which was developing into a pretty vibrant, eclectic mix of various businesses.
And they were old buildings, weren't they?
Yes, it was mainly buildings that had been used in the rag trade about 100 years previous, ranging from two-storey to four-storey brick buildings, very reminiscent of Europe, and it lent itself to developing into shops, offices and apartments, and we had quite a vibrant area developing in that area.
Yeah, and then it all went in the quake.
Well, a lot of the buildings are now reduced to bare building blocks. There seems to be lots of bare blocks of land in the inner city in Christchurch, and a number of ours are. We still have probably about four or five buildings standing within the block, which range from High Street to Madras Street, Litchfield to Chilham.
Right. Yeah, it must have been pretty heartbreaking after all that hard work.
10 years of effort from a lot of people, and we had a distinct precinct that was developed. A lot of people had a lot of heart and soul, and it developed organically, actually. And yes, it was pretty painful to see it all become just a distant memory, or not so distant memory.
Yeah, so I guess when you saw the opportunity to perhaps get involved with restoring the Rocket Bay store, that piqued your interest?
Well, not really. I didn't really rush at it for that reason. The reason why I became involved is because I live in Rocky Bay. Well, I shifted to Rocky Bay, and I was pretty impressed with the community spirit of the area, and I thought, well, you know, I live here, I want to become involved and help where I can, and there seemed to be an opening that there was a Rocky Bay store initiative that wanted to purchase and restore the Rocky Bay shop that was burnt out, I understand, about 7 or 8 years previous. So 7 or 8 years is a pretty long time frame from my point of view, and I wondered why, you know, something hadn't been done, you know, a lot earlier. So I thought, well, perhaps I can get involved and help, you know, move things along a bit. So I contacted a lady that lives in the area, Zenit, who was heading this initiative, and I said that I'd offer my services to, particularly my skills probably were in the area of negotiation. So I set about making contact with the owner of the property and endeavouring to complete some sort of deal direct with the owner.
Right. Right, well, you know, I'm on that group with you, John.
You are, Jan.
Seen that. I think there's only the three of us.
There's only three of us on there.
And when the community initiative, or the Rocky Bay Store Community Initiative group was set up about 2 years ago from a public various public meetings and public interest in getting the store back up and running, there were about six or seven of us who were all enthused. But gradually we drifted down to two of us, and then you came on the scene, and I think our energy levels had gone below zero, and you came in at the scene and perked us up. So the we've got this initiative going at the moment that everybody, I hope, has seen in the golf news and the marketplace the last 2 weeks, to try and raise funds to buy the section that the shop remains are on.
Yes, well, the block of land actually comprises three different titles, and the shop building is on one of the titles. And our initiative, as you know, Jan, we were particularly just interested in the title that had the shop. We weren't really interested in purchasing the greater block of land, and because we thought, well, it would be a big enough call to pull off just getting the shop, and basically that was just to be a first stage to actually buy the shop, and then the second stage was to actually get the money to restore it and rebuild it. And then there was the third stage of another section of the community to look at running the store.
Mm, right. Because it's a big ask, as you said, for a small community to raise $150,000, which is why we've gone wider and publicised it in the wider Waiheke area, in the hope that there's some people out there who might like to see the Rocky Bay store get up and running again. I know there's a lot of people who didn't live in Rocky Bay that used to make the trek over there on a Sunday for a cup of coffee or whatever, because it was somewhere different to go. But that is the biggest ask, and even with all of the support we've had, it's still a huge ask. I think we know that if we got to the point of actually buying the property, we'd probably be able to get funding for pretty much the restoration work. But it's getting that initial foot in the door, isn't it?
It is, Jen. What we set a figure of $50,000 to raise in a fairly short space of time, which really we really wanted to know by the 19th of April, which was a pretty big call. But the restoration side of it would be fun. You know, we'd look for funding from various governmental and not so governmental bodies, but it would also require a lot of input from the community. People, you know, have people with various skills come down and contribute their resources. So that was going to be part of it.
Mm. Well, you know, the Rocky Bay community is good at doing that. They've done that with the hall a few years ago. It was mostly voluntary labour under the watchful eye of a registered builder, so that sort of thing could happen again. But we've got to secure the section first and the property first.
Yeah.
Now, we've got Hoffman Law have very kindly offered us their trust account for donations to be made into. Have you got the details of that there?
I have, yes. It's Hoffman's Law Trust Account. It's an ASB bank account, and the number is 12-3019-0687-117-02.
Or they can send a cheque to via you made out to Hoffman Law Trust Account.
They can, yeah, and that's PO Box 249 Ostend, wonderful Waiheke Island.
Ah, yes. Well, I think we need a bit of a boost on this, don't we, John?
We do. You know, it's It's a big call to, but yeah, we need the support from anybody that want help in any way whatsoever. This is just if this initial fundraising doesn't come to fruition, then we'll have to take other measures. But yeah, it's a big call, but we are confident that there'll be people in Waiheke Island that would like to support this. Just incidentally, the Rocky Bay Hall, as you say, is a wonderful area of the island to go to, and on Thursdays between 1 and 4 there's a number of people outside of Rocky Bay that come and enjoy the environment. We're also blessed with a bus stop, as you say, right near the hall, and we also have a number of boaties come into the area and so on. It's also position-wise very close to the Wakanaifa camping ground, and in the summer, it's if the store was up and running, it would be probably one of the close. There's a short walk to the camping ground from the store. The store could probably hire out kayaks or something like that. There's a whole lot of things that would be good from a sort of commercial and also a tourist viewpoint for the Rocky Bay store area.
Yes, it's well positioned there. I was just thinking that if there's anybody out there who would like to make a donation but wishes to remain anonymous, that Hoffman Law would honour that, and you could make a donation into their account and make it let them know that it was to remain anonymous. So that's a possibility out there if you want to do that. So if anybody's got any bright ideas, or many might want to do a fundraising activity to raise the funds, rather, if you can't afford to donate something yourself, and that could be a good way of doing a community thing, or if you know of anybody who might be interested, not necessarily on the island, who's got an interest in the island, then that would be great if you could contact John. Or ring me or ring John. Have you got your phone number?
Yes, my number's 2764 or 372-2764.
Right, it's probably best if you ring John because he's handling all of that. Yeah. So we wish you luck, John. Yes, we wish Rocky Bay luck.
Just incidentally, Jan, we should just say that, you know, if this fundraising, we get a number of donations in and we don't reach our target, we will be refunding, you know, the donations are refundable. The trust won't be holding on to the money. No. So you would get that back.
That's a good point, yes, because Hoffman Law are keeping close tabs on that and can refund, and we'll know exactly where the money's come from and who they give it back to. But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Yes, it'll be a wonderful thing for the whole island, actually, not just Rocky Bay. It'll create an extra tourist destination point, and I think it'll be a huge benefit to the whole island.
You're absolutely right. Well, good luck for the for it all, and thank you for coming in. Hopefully we'll have you back in when we've got the money and can talk about what's the next step.
Celebrating our next move.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much, Jan.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.